Ladies and gentlemen, please stay seated for the five-star podcast on Three Red Kings. Introducing your host, the Eggman, the cult leader of the Secret Club, and the best in the world, Tom Savage.
It's the final countdown.
Hello, welcome to the Five Star Podcast. This podcast and this podcast every week for the duration of the Women's Six Nations is going to look at the women's results from the weekend and just try and see where Ireland are at as we try to move up in the world rankings, get into a different level of the WXV, and just turn around what has been a difficult few years for women's rugby in this country. The Six Nations has started last weekend. It started with probably the second most difficult game of the season this Irish team will face, which is France away from home. We've got to play England away from home as well, which is, look, it's going to be incredibly difficult, and there's no way around that. But it was, yeah, a tough loss for Ireland in the end, 38-17. Not to get into the whole we lost but we won stuff, but it was a pretty good performance from Ireland overall. And I think that there's lots to like about the way Ireland were able to, front up in this game and show a lot more competency than what they showed against, you know, the same opposition last season. They seemed like the floor was much higher than what it has been in previous seasons. And look, there's no doubting that it's difficult, but this is also a pretty good Irish team that we were able to put out here for the first time. I also like as well that we saw Linda Dugang play the majority of the game at Loosehead. We need to see her in that lighter role. Not lighter, but I think when you have to play a tight head, certainly the women's game, there's a certain amount of weight and power you have to have. And I think Dugang, for me, is better on the loose head side. Niamh Jones did well. Like, I'm looking through the team, and like, as in, they all fronted up. Watched the games back there twice yesterday and the day before. They all fronted up. And like, there 100% is talent in this country. It's going to take time, but I think what Scott Bamand has done for this Irish team straight away, immediately, is tighten up a lot of the game that we were trying to play under Greg McWilliams, and we're instantly better and we're instantly more difficult to beat as a result. I thought Nicole Fowley at 10 had a really good game. They split the game basically between herself and Dana O'Brien. Dana is a good player. I've seen her playing a lot in the women's AIL. Her goal kicking is really good. She's somebody they obviously like long term as a 10. I think she's got a lot of upside to her. Now obviously there's a few players missing as well from this Irish team in the forwards who I think absolutely would be starting if they were fit. Dervla Ní Cathbhard, for example, her knee injury is a bit of a dose because she's missed a lot of rugby and she's an outstanding player. But when I look at the way that we ran this game, I'll just go have a quick some of the quick notes from the game. If you were watching it, you would have seen a lot of kicking from Ireland, and a lot of that kicking being fairly long, and all of it off Nicole Fowley. I think she's down for 19 kicks in total. I'll get down to some of the information on that as well in a second. But our pass to kick ratio was 4.3 passes for every kick. So we're very, very low down there in that counter transition style game, almost verging on off ball. It's a good, like, that is a good start straight away from Scott Bamand. Sometimes I think when you see a coach coming in, and if they're a spoofer, the first thing they start talking about, if the team is starting from a low ebb, is in, we're coming in here to play rugby, guys. And Scott has come in, Bamand, the new head coach, and you can tell he's brought a big focus on work rate. You can tell he's brought a lot of clarity, it seems. And the game that they're playing is dialed way back from what it was last year. And it's very sensible work as well from Bamand. It's what I would expect any good coach to do, is to come in and strip back everything. They're kicking a lot. And Fowley, look, might not be the most glamorous player at 10 when it comes to running rugby and all this other stuff and, you know, baller stuff. But she's a good kicker of the ball. She understands how to kick, where to kick, when to kick. She has all of that in her toolbox. She's a good passer as well. But watching her for the last couple of years in AIL, you basically just get a feel of a person who just understands the game very, very well. And having somebody like that in there from the start, especially against a team like France, who you need to keep at arm's length, and this Irish team need to keep them at arm's length. And look, they've got a way to go defensively. Defensively, there was a few slips and stuff like that. But I think in the long term, this as a building block to start off is always the right way to go, especially when you're starting from a very, very low ebb, which this team were, to be honest. You could come in and start talking about, you know, backing our skill set and all this, that and the other. I think that what the coaching staff has done with this team, initially anyway, is strong fundamentals at this level of the game, which is we will kick the ball an awful lot, and we did. When we pass, we're going to keep it very, very simple, which we did. Our pass per carry ratio, what do you reckon it was? 1.18. So we were keeping it very, very simple. Again, building block rugby. We're starting from a low ebb. We want to get to a different place. Make yourself very difficult to beat in the first case. And in that instance, you're cutting down on turnovers, trying to get good on your defensive transition, your progression into settled phase play there afterwards. It'll all build on from there. And your set piece, which again, it's important in all codes of the game, but it's so important in the women's game as a platform just to get going. Like, Ireland's line out in this game wasn't good enough. And that's a concern. That was a concern last year as well. This year, we have tried to really tighten it up. But our line-out jumping, the accuracy, the throwing is a problem. Like, we had 9 line-outs total. We threw, just a quick look at some of our stats on this. Our line-outs, we threw 78% of them to the front, 22% to the middle. So 7 to the front, 2 to the middle, with an average distance of 6.8 meters on all those throws. France's, for example, both of their hookers, their average distance was 10.2 meters and 9.2 meters. So that's a more expansive lineout. That's a more, I would say, mature set piece, if that makes sense. They have their lineout pretty efficient. Ours is a long way off. We had to play a lot of ours very short, very tight. We were under pressure from France in the lineout. But we can't be in a situation where we're throwing 78% of our throws to the front. France, for example, both of their hookers only threw 33% of their throws to the front. So, like, we can't be in that position where we are trying to obviously cut back on the issues that we have in our set piece, because look, we lost two of our scrums as well, you know, but we would expect that. Line out is something that we can drill a lot more. To lose four of those, and I know one of them was a clean steal by France, while we're not getting anywhere near theirs, really, that's part and parcel as to how this game ended up being the way it was, despite our conservative approach. So if it's a case that our line out, we're going super conservative, but we're still losing, like, what? You know, we lost four, we had 9 total. So you're close enough to losing half your lineouts. Game can't function with that. They know that. I mean, look, this is not news to them. Oh, 50% return of the lineout's bad? Yeah. But this is kind of the thing. Like, that's one of those things where, yeah, look, we're obviously trying to pull our game back and make it more conservative, get rid of all the leaks in the game. But the lineout here was a big issue for us. And I think if that runs at, like, you know, 7 out of 9 even, I think we're in a position where we can boss possession a bit more, boss territory a bit more, because we actually did a pretty good job on that. But that's the problem. If we don't have our, if we don't have our game together properly when it comes to our breakdown, if we don't have our breakdown set, or our lineout rather, if we don't have that accurate, we can't make any of it work, because it's so important in this game. The lineout is important in every code, bar, you know, the rugby league, but in both codes for Union, the women's game in particular, have to have a set piece of functions. If you don't, there's very little scope for you to turn it around anywhere else. Because you can make it work if your scrum is fucked up in the men's game. You can make it work. You can just about survive a bad lineout, but I don't think you can in the women's game. So that's something that needs to be sorted out. It looked like some of our lifts were a little sloppy. Some of the throws there were a few dud throws as well. But that doesn't necessarily show up on the metrics either, because like our average speed was slow enough. 30 kilometers an hour on average is slow enough. Spiral efficiency, 93.6. Ideally, that'd be further up, you know, because again, you look at the starting hooker for France, Agatha Sochat, she was throwing at 96.8 spiral efficiency. That helps. And like she was hitting front, middle, back, long. Like they had far more tools in the tool shed, we'll say, than what we did, despite our conservative approach. So we were just looking to go, look, when we get the line out, we'll hang on to the ball, we'll look to try to maul it maybe, then release the foulie, get the ball down the field, harry, chase, look for a mistake, and kind of playing in the right areas of the field. But if our set piece doesn't work, none of that works. Despite, you know, how conservative and conservative here, by the way, isn't a criticism. Like conservative here is the exact way that Ireland should be looking to try and play. Pull it right back and then build up once you have those foundations in place. And it will take time. But stuff like our kicking game being as good as what it was, like our kicking game I felt was very, very good. That can't work with a lineout return like that. That's one of the things of a counter transition game. You cannot make that work without the lineout working, because you have to get up and steal their lineout, which we didn't manage to do. They had a very smooth return at the lineout. So it basically felt that we were, any gains we made with our kicking and the chasing, which was good, we kind of lost again. And any chance we had an opportunity to build some pressure of our own, 50% of the time we couldn't, you know, secure our possession properly. And even the stuff we did have was scrappy enough at times. So that's obviously a big work on, but they'll obviously know that. Because again, you look at our kicks in play from Fowley, for example. I was speaking about her there a minute ago. Our average territory gain was 29.8 metres. Now, our territory gain off the boot from penalties was really good. That was 19.9, 20 metres per kick on average, which is really good going. But we were trying to play long counter transition, keep them out of it. As in, make it difficult for them, make them cover a lot of ground, use our pace on the wings, the likes of Parsons, the likes of Katie Corrigan, even Eve Higgins and Aoife Dalton. Like, they're all very, very quick, good players on defensive transition. Like, that's a great place to start. And our passing distance as well. Now, we didn't have a whole ton of passes, 120 total, but the majority of those were 5 to 10 metres in length. Our average pass distance was 5.4 metres. France's was 5.1. We don't have the power to play through them. So, like, as in, with that, you kind of have to, one, box clever, but we didn't do a whole lot of that either. We wanted to keep them at arm's length. We didn't want to expose ourselves to their defensive pressure for too much. So we played quite conservatively. Again, like, our pass-to-kick ratio was 4.3 passes per kick, which, again, that shows a team that isn't looking to try and play around all that much. Like our 5 to 10 meter passes, you know, we had France, for example, 114 of their 213 total passes. So like half of them pretty much were 5 meters or less. So they understand where their advantage was. They have a big pack, they have power there. So for Ireland, like I said, we were under the pump for sure. Like, you know, there's no way to, we lost the game 38 points to 17, the few defensive slip ups and stuff like that, but like genuinely you look at that and go, like for the first half, for example, right? Because look, we had our two fly halves played 50-50 of the game. So Nicole Fowley made 32.4 meters per kick on average from her 19 kicks, right? That's really, really good in this game plan. Now, Dana O'Brien had way fewer kicks in the second half. She had 7 kicks total for an average gain of 28.4. So I'm not sure if the, you know, unless Nicole Fowley was injured, which we're not sure on, I think that keeping that conservative approach to the game is probably the right idea. But this is the thing when you're playing a team like France, and I think if you kind of you're overly focused on the men's game, you kind of look at this and you try to talk about going out there and trying to play rugby, going out there to try to, you know, dominate this team and try to get back into the game with things that are normally praised on TV. I think from the players' perspective here, I think it's much better to be conservative and much better to be competitive with that conservatism than trying to play a game that sounds good on paper and sounds exciting but isn't. That only leads to, you know, you just getting beaten over and over again. And like, I think for this Irish team, like off the back of like some of the fundamentals that we saw, there's lots to like there. And when you understand that, like, this team have a lot of growth they have to do, there's obviously a lot of cohesion that they have to build in. They're very, very early in this tournament. They're very early in the, I suppose, in their build as a group. I think maybe 2 years down the line, maybe we should be looking at this team as being, you know, a team that we're looking to try and advance up to be. Italy are going to be a big problem for us. Wales are going to be a problem for us as well. Scotland beat Wales as well. So they're improving. We have improved just by reducing the stuff that we're trying to do. And with that, you know, I think that there's lots to like about where this team is going. Like, again, from a ball and play perspective as well, we are, I think just because of our kicking, we're looking to try and back our fitness. 39.2 ball and play minutes for this game is pretty high. And you could tell that we were struggling a little bit for fitness towards the end. Like, from a defensive perspective, we missed too many tackles relative to how many that we had in. But I felt that we did well. Like, as in overall, like, I think we had, what, 90% completion or something like that. It's just that we were kind of doing a little bit too much defending, if that makes sense. We found it very difficult to kind of get time out of possession or in possession rather, or where the territory was more favorable to ourselves. And I think our set piece kind of pulls that pressure back on you as well. But defensively, I thought we really stuck in there. You know, I thought that, like, there was lots to like about that aspect of it. Looking at the breakdown as well, 52% of our rucks were between 0 and 3 seconds, which is really good. 55% of France's were, when you consider the amount of attacking sequences that they had. Like, they only had 6 more rucks than we did. So, like, the quality of their handling was really, really impressive. But that's kind of the difference at the moment between these two teams. And, you know, I think that, you know, from a breakdown perspective, like, we got 2 breakdown steals, which is pretty good. Like, the French maul was a big issue for us too. But, like, you can't be too critical about the team. Like, last year, a lot of what they were doing was kind of incoherent. This year, they landed shots. They looked as in the game plan suits them. I think there's a lot of clarity there, whereas last year that there wasn't. I think the build in the back row, or the back five rather, needs a bit of work. Dorothy Wall, I actually really like in the second row. You would have seen her in the last couple of years. She would have played mainly in the back row. She's been playing a lot of second row in the last year or so. She's got the power for it. And we do need power. That's one thing. Looking at the two teams here, France had more hitters than we did, and that is a problem. I look at Aoife Wafer played well, as did Adele McMahon, Brittany Hogan. I do feel we need a different build of player though there to help out in like certainly with the set piece. So that's something I think that, you know, down the line maybe they'll look at, hopefully. But like with the firepower there, like our back line, like Parsons and Dalton, Higgins, Katie Corrigan, Lauren Delaney, I all thought they played pretty well, as did the bench replacements. Maeve Dealey has gone really well in AIL whenever I've seen her. But I just feel that we maybe need a little bit more firepower in this team overall as they develop. That obviously, I think, will come down the line. But, you know, long story short, I think, look, France are obviously the better team. For Ireland, though, I think that the games that have to be the focus are Wales, Italy, and Scotland at home. They are the massive games. All three of them. And I think that there was one of the girls was in the press this week talking about how all those games are winnable. They absolutely are. And again, with the right approach, a little bit more accuracy, but an improved set piece, that is going to be what's going to do it. Like, again, I think that the foundations are there. We have a good kicking game. I think that Nicole Fowley, I think, should be a core player in this rotation. Good goal kicker. But I think that from an Irish perspective, we have to, the set piece, the line out is the biggest work on. Scrum will come and go. Like, as in, not every team is going to be France in the scrum. But our line out can't be the way that it was in this game. We have to be far more solid than what we were. Because again, look, nothing will work with the volume of kicking that we're doing unless the line out functions. Like, you know, because if we're going to play 39 point, something, whatever it was, ball and play minutes, have to give yourself a break by having your line out function. If you don't, you're just ending up defending, you know, like really dangerous transitions all the time. That won't work. So that's the biggest focus for me going into this next round of games, seeing if we can just nail down that line out. Again, we're trying to play conservatively. We're throwing shorter than a lot of teams, I would say. We just have to make it stick. Even if it means you have nothing to launch off, even if it means you're just kicking, secure your lineup. That's the biggest thing going into this next game. Because again, I think if Ireland can pick up two wins in this Six Nations, I know it's an improvement than last year, just by default, but it would show that there's a lot of growth in this year. And then be competitive away against England. We saw that they could do it against France. It won't be as difficult at home. Have to make it count. So lots to like about this team, and I'll be covering them again next week, looking at how they went in their next game. So thank you very much for joining me. Thank you very much for being a TRK subscriber. I'll be back to you again later in the week.